But you've been to the Orkney Islands, actually. It was a little bit chilly.
It was incredibly cold. Apparently it has one of the smallest spread of temperatures because it's in, you know, the sea mitigates it. It doesn't get as cold as it does in places in Scotland.
That's correct. Yes, we were
saying that. Yeah, but was not warm. I had thermals in July.
Thermals,
I was outraged, but it was very cool.
On the weekend panel this morning, the actor, comedian, impresario and performer Penny Ashton.
That's me.
Impresario.
Impresario, that's right. I don't know. I'm a fridge magnet. Fridge magnet magnate.
Puts on her own shows, impresario.
Yes.
Right.
And sells fridge
Okay, magnets. I want to know what have you got for me now? I want to be an impresario.
And Tim Watkin, who leads the RNZ Podcasts team, has written for The Guardian and The Washington Post.
He has.
And has produced TV shows like Q&A and The Nation. That's accurate, I mean.
That is accurate.
Thank you.
Television impresario.
Television impresario.
Impresario is another word for self-employed.
That's right.
You have a salary. I've never had a salary in my life.
Wow.
I don't know what they're like.
At 20 minutes to nine. Now, a highlight or lowlight from the past week from each of you to start, please. Tim.
I'm going first. Relatively serious one. Watching the events in Hong Kong unfold this week, we, I think, should all find distinctly disturbing. Looking at some of the writings on the Apple Daily, which is a newspaper that got raided this week with literally hundreds of police. The two executives are in prison, no bail. They are facing potentially life imprisonment under security law that says that, you know, basically writing an opinion column that says maybe China should face some sanctions is regarded as foreign collusion. Is frankly outrageous. But one of the pieces I read on the Apple Daily website said the newsroom was described as a crime scene by the police, which I thought was fascinating. When a newsroom becomes a crime scene just for doing the news, then we have some very serious problems. And in a place like Hong Kong, we should be, I think, probably a little bit more worried about this than we are at the moment.
And the newspaper's going ahead, and I couldn't help thinking when I heard the news this morning that it's actually quite brave now to turn up at court and support.
Yeah, they talk about the journalists in Hong Kong talk about the red line and not knowing where it is. This is the problem, is that how this law will be interpreted is just anybody's guess, and so you don't know what you're writing. So the self-censorship now, let alone the state censorship, is chronic. I was messaging a friend who's a journalist in Hong Kong and the other day to see how they were. And they came back and said, look, I'll tell you how I am, but, you know, can I start by saying this is all off the record?
Yeah,
which
course.
Is a bizarre way just to start a normal conversation with someone you know. And you'll notice there I said they. I generally don't want to say whether they are a he or a she. That's how concerned working journalists are in Hong Kong. So I'm not going to tell you the story she told me, but it's not good.
What about you from the past week?
Yeah, I was just listening to those news on the way here as well, and it just makes me so angry about how the, you know, just clamping down on free thought, which makes Winston Peters' hatred of the media in this country much more interesting in a way. I'm going to have a highlight in that I just went to New Plymouth last weekend to do some shows at the Fourth Wall Theatre. And I didn't know about this place. And it's run by these two fabulous people who run this gorgeous little Raywin and Brett. And it's just this gorgeous little theatre. They live there. They live above it. They were so helpful and welcoming, and we sold out. And that was a lot to do with their promotion. And so I just think any performers out there, go and perform at the Fourth Wall Theatre, and also the audiences in New Plymouth, because I've been to New Plymouth quite a lot with WOMAD and done shows at the TSB Showplace, which is great, and Taft is great too, which is the Festival Trust that is out of there with Suzanne Porter. But yeah, I just love how people are coming out all over the country to support the arts. Obviously, they're not travelling as much and, you know, and got some more disposable income at this point. And
you can't
and they
spend
want to
it
laugh.
All on outdoor furniture.
That's right. And they want to laugh and they're just coming out to support. So shout out to that theatre and all the other little theatres run by just a couple of people on the smell of an oily rag. So we appreciate you.
And there are some very charming little theatres in New Zealand.
There are. And like, so we're doing Arts on Tour in October, we're doing 29 dates, and like the, you know, the Picton Little Theatre is adorable. The you know, there's all these little tiny theatres. There's a gorgeous one in Geraldine, the Hokitika one, the Lodge Theatre in Hokitika is adorable. I just love all of it.
Let's start with the big theatre of Euro 2021 and this week's Mystery Sound. You look puzzled.
Yeah. Oh.
That is Ronaldo.
Their Coke bottle's
been
moved.
It sounded like someone doing a screen print.
That's Ronaldo shifting two Coke bottles out of camera view during a media conference. For a start, do we really think this cost the Coca-Cola company $5.6 billion?
Well, I read one thing that said that it was already $2 billion down before he did that.
Yes.
So there was a downward trend that it maybe helped spread up. But yeah, look, I can imagine it having an impact when the first human being on the planet to have 500 million followers across Facebook, Twitter and Insta. 500 million people, he's got that. He is the most followed social media person in the world. So yes, when he you know, lifts his pinky, there are implications for that because everybody is watching him.
It's so interesting because I don't give a toss what he thinks. And my husband thinks he's a dick.
He is.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not a nice man.
But also, like,
but Coke, he's a very good footballer.
Coke makes water. You know, pump.
Well, this was it. And there was I saw the press release when they announced that Coke was coming on as a sponsor. It was going to be, again, a sponsor for Euro because it's been doing it for 32 years, supposedly. Mm. And they said it's going to be great for us to integrate our range of brands, including water and blah. I was like, well, you missed that opportunity, didn't you?
Well, I mean, also, I thought their response was quite classy. They were like, he's indicative of the world. We all have a choice of beverages and we've got one for all of you. You know, I was like, boom, I thought, yeah. But also, that stock drop was only 1.6%. Just like, oh my God, that's how much 1.6 of Coke. Yeah. They'll be fine.
They'll survive.
They'll be fine. And I find it very hard to believe that it was a massive drop just because of that.
But it goes to the whole tension, right, of the fact that we've got, you know, this is a huge sporting event and Ronaldo, whatever else you think of him, is well into his mid-30s now and is still playing at this highest level and is quite a phenomenon in terms of staying fit and so forth. And he's quite right to say that he can't do what he does drinking garbage like Coke.
However, he wouldn't be paid as much as he's paid.
That's exactly it.
So and that's huge because they get paid a stupid amount of money. Like footballers are paid a stupid amount.
He's also worth, my 500 is the number for this, he's got 500 million followers on social, he's worth $500 million.
Ridiculous.
The other issue is that French player Paul Pogba, who's Muslim, had a Heineken bottle placed in front of him for advertising purposes. So should he be expected to suck that up?
It's an interesting. Oh, he wouldn't suck it up. I know that. Because it's beer. But, like, it's, you know, it's a, for me, it should be about the choice. It's like just because there's a beer there, he doesn't have to drink it. He's not saying that you should. But, I mean, there's that tacit endorsement.
The implications
stuff.
There, though, isn't it?
But, you know, and I guess you could be a lot more socially aware. Yeah. And, you know, especially if things like that.
That seems pretty
tone deaf. Yeah.
Nearly one in five Kiwis had a problem with their bank in the past year, according to Consumer New Zealand's latest satisfaction survey. ASB had the overall lowest customer satisfaction. TSB scored best for service. 47% of New Zealanders strongly agree that banks charge too much. Now, this coming week, Westpac will stop their, another bank, I've forgotten which one, TSB it might be, will stop their customers using cheques. And some banks already have. And it saves banks money, and it's been strenuously argued against. And cheques have been with us since the 13th century.
Yeah, that's
fascinating. I was reading. And the French still use them. The Americans still like them. Do you see a good reason for discarding them?
I can see why, but I just wonder why we just can't phase them out. Like, just stop sort of promoting them, offering them, and then people that don't have the internet and people that aren't au fait with technology will eventually shuffle off. Apparently, because it's only like 1% of people use them. So how much is it really costing them? And they make too much money already.
Well, and if you look at it through, I get from a business point of view, you go minimal customer service implications, huge costs, probably decent cost savings, let's do it. But from a social and inclusivity point of view, right, for most of us, it's there's the old thing where you hold your hand out far away from your face and you say it's just out there and it doesn't really matter. But for the people who do rely on it, it's hand right up against the face stuff. It actually was really, really hard to find other ways. So
you
I think for the sake of them.
He just evidenced this with some physical.
The hand
yes.
right up to the face. That is for people reliant on cheques, mostly older people, but people with all kinds of disabilities or reading issues and so forth, it's huge.
And also connectivity issues for farmers, yeah. Which I hadn't thought about. So, you know, where Vodafone and Telecom does not reach.
So come on, banks.
Yeah. But, I mean, they are making a lot of money.
That, but I mean, what some of the British banks do, like Barclays, is let older people use capture technology on their phones to send a cheque through.
Right, they still need to use technology.
Well, yeah, but they can use technology.
Well,
they
some of them can't. I think that's the point, isn't
it? But it's also implications. I had a friend who just was telling me yesterday that they went into the bank this week with a cheque from a bank that is still doing cheques to give it into a bank that has stopped doing cheques.
Yes.
And they're like, no, we don't receive cheques. And you said, but it's, oh, they don't receive their own cheque. They can still receive their own cheques, but they can't receive a cheque from another bank.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And it's like, it's a mess at the moment.
Feels
it's
like it has to be
thing.
All the way across.
And you get cheques from,
overseas.
We got cheques from overseas, from another country.
When
and what do you
done,
do with those?
When I've done fringes overseas, I've had cheques and banked them here.
Yeah. I think you'll find that quite elderly people use iPhones.
My father does.
You
should come and talk to my dad. He has a little tiny flip phone and has no idea how to use a smartphone and could not care less, which is quite frustrating.
Okay, so he's not a good case.
So he's a perfect example. He's a perfect. But he uses the internet. And I love my, you know, smart app. Boat banking. I love all that.
Yeah.
Something else that's probably going is the America's Cup.
It is disappointing for the people of Auckland and for the businesses that didn't get the return that they might have under normal circumstances because of COVID-19, but were looking for a second chance to get a return on the investment that Auckland made.
So is what Phil Goff's saying is that you didn't deliver the economic goods last time round and you owe us? Is that what?
Yes. And they do.
Yeah. It's funny. I could not give less of a toss with the America's Cup. Like, I put it on my Facebook when it was coming around last time, and the only people that were, like, most people were like, me neither, apart from people that made money out of it. Like, there were Peter Elliott loves, and my word, he bangs on about it. Hello, Peter. On his Facebook, you know, and that's great. But he was outraged that this happened. But I just think, you know, the amount of money that goes into sport, and the outrage around, like, you know, a cycle bridge. So if we could just pretend there's going to be a cycle race across the harbour bridge that we're going to build, and then maybe people would care about it.
That's a very good point.
Yes.
Just pretend you're holding a big event that will attract a lot of overseas
that's
people.
That's right.
And just pull out.
Well, we'll just have a cycle race. Have a cycle race, and then just, oh, look at this bridge that we've got, you know, because the viaduct is amazing now.
It is.
You know, and that is a gift from the America's Cup.
And no reflection on the sailors. I mean, I'm Team Chook.
Of course.
All the way. But, man, you know, the problem's in the name to start with, right? It's nonsense that it's Team New Zealand. It is not a representative sporting body. It is Emirates Team New Zealand. It is a corporate construction. Its relationship with New Zealand has always been a commercial one. It dresses, and that's what really annoys me.
But you can apply that to a lot of sports teams now. In fact,
increasingly, but this started as a business operation and pretended to be a sport. I think, you know, and pretended to be a national sporting organisation, where it's never really been. It's not like all the sailors come together in some kind of local thing, and then the best get chosen to represent the country. It is a commercial bunch of people who pick people to the end, and this idea that they're representing us, I just think is nonsense, and it always has been from Peter Blake on. It's been historically we have had some awful people doing awful things to each other in this boat race, and this is the latest one. They've bailed on us. New Zealand, I mean, to be really put the boot in, the team of 5 million, if we're going to get, allowed them to have a race, right? The fact that we were a COVID-free country, all the things we did allow them a race, and this is the way they say thank you?
Thank you for that particular point of view on the America's Cup. I've still got Red Sox and...
And I love sailing away. Yeah, I mean, the fact is called it the America's Cup, that we're something that we love. But it's always been about the fact that we were the underdog. That's what it is. You know, we beat Australia, we beat America, ha ha. You know, that's what we love, all that sort of stuff. But it's just been, it's an elitist sport that I don't care about. But I'm happy that other people have a nice time. But I would be I've never watched a race.
Here's a question just for Tim. Winston Peters will be addressing the New Zealand First AGM today in East Tāmaki. Do you see another rabbit emerging from that hat?
He might, but he shouldn't. I tell the story occasionally, so excuse me if I've told it before, but one of the conversations I remember having with Peters some years ago was one of his greatest political heroes is Strom Thurmond, the former... American senator from the Deep South who retired from the Senate aged 99. So I'm just saying.
He's got years.
Winston could have three or four more terms left in him, let's be honest. No, look, I've always said, you know, I because of that, I always think there's something in him that just doesn't want to let go, and so you could easily see that. But I do feel like, and you could see it in the last campaign, he was not the Winston of old in the last campaign. I think his time has passed.
He's recharged for 8 months now.
Well, look, and you know, who knows? And look, you know, who knows? Winston Peters.
He's always been entertaining, but he's so curmudgeonly. And, you know, and I got very sick of the handbrake because I'm, you know, quite left and I wanted more things to happen in the last government. And just his song and dance with the media is just ridiculous. It's like, what are you, five? So there was on the news last night, he was literally hiding from cameras behind his partner. It was just sort of, and then him going on Australian television on Friday morning to talk about how terrible our vaccine rollout is. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so sick of all the negativity around the vaccine rollout. You know, we're ahead of where we were projected to be. Yes, it's not perfect, but I'm getting my first jab tomorrow, in fact, because I'm asthmatic. I'm obviously very young, but I'm asthmatic. So, you know, and I know it's not
How
just about me.
How asthmatic do you have to be?
Well, yeah, I wasn't, you know, I mean, I take
some. I'm mildly asthmatic.
Then get on it.
Get on it.
Get on it. I rang the number. That's what I did. I would like my parents to get it before me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just find him tedious.
Yeah. I'm frustrated by the rollout. I feel it should be going faster, but I do understand
there's
a supply.
It's ahead of where it was, and it's supply, and no one's dying.
No one's dying. I know.
The world needs it more than we do.
Yeah, I know.
Should New Zealand be going faster? On Newsroom Pro, editor Jonathan Milne says New Zealand's in great economic shape, actually. I went to Royal Oak Pack and Save at the weekend. I searched for a car park in Newmarket. I fought for a table at the Auckland Airport food court so my boys and I could eat our sushi. This is an economy.
Jono's living the dream.
This is an economy that's growing back like it's the roaring 20s again. So if we're going to assess what shape we're in not using economists, which is not a bad idea, what do you both think?
Yeah, We're existing as an economy, which is better than most of the world right now. So I don't know. I keep coming back to how lucky we are to be here. Also, I find economics, I've never liked economics. And it just is that anybody...
just personally, you just don't get on.
People interpret the data, the exact same data, in so many different ways at all times. Like, I get bewildered by it. You know, left says this, right says that, economist says this, Bernard Hickey says this. I just, you know, I feel like we obviously have social issues, but yeah, I don't know, the economy,
Look, I it's interesting that well, you're right. We are functioning. The short answer is I think we're functioning better than most because we are actually able to leave our homes and go out and buy things.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be underestimated. But, you know, we do have issues. But again, it's the comparison of we're in this pandemic globally. So I have huge sympathy for a lot of businesses that are on their knees, that are really struggling to hold stuff together. And you think, yeah, they are desperate for the vaccine rollout to hurry up so that we can get more people in, both to fill the labour shortages, to get tourists back, to actually save their businesses. And there are people in incredible stress and difficulty. But as you say, they're not dying.
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of tension we live in, is that it's not as bad as it could have been. But, I would think that if we could do more to get people back into the country, labour shortage has been the big one, to actually get people in here who are vaccinated into a country which is vaccinated, then we're going to all do a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, but the world is the problem. We're not going to open the borders anytime soon because of, you know, there's new variants that rage constantly. So, you know, it's like it's going to take a year, I think, at least, for people to be able to come back in here anyway.
And so what's the effect of that? Because as for our GDP miracle announced on Thursday, David Seymour from ACT says it's a dead cat bouncing on a sugar rush of borrowed money.
David.
So how long can those borders stay closed?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I think there needs to be an urgency around getting them open. But David's being disingenuous in that...
For a change.
You, you know, 10, 12 years ago, he was part of a government that, you know, borrowed, the key English government borrowed very heavily after the GFC for tax cuts mostly, but also for infrastructure spend and so forth to reignite the economy. It is a perfectly, we have ridiculously low interest rates. Of course you borrow right now.
Yeah.
I think.
You know, and this is a perfect example of people interpreting statistics however they want. So I don't really care what David Seymour has to say.
A brief rev up of the bikies commandeering Auckland's roads on Friday for the funeral of Taranaki for Moana, who had links with the headhunters.
Kia ora, good evening. A massive gathering of gangs ended with some Auckland drivers forced off the city's motorway.
One driver pulled over to the shoulder of the southern, I think, and locked the doors of the car. Was that a slight overreaction? But you can understand people being alarmed. Did the police handle this as well as they could? What are your views on all this?
I struggle to have strong views on this. Yes, I think that probably is an overreaction. I mean, the point of gangs is to intimidate, right? So yes, it's natural to be intimidated. It's a way that people claim power by dressing in a certain way and acting in a certain way to be able to power. On one hand, you know, it's not that unusual to have gang gatherings. They do happen probably out of sight in other suburbs and other towns a lot of the time, but equally they don't often, you know, block off whole city streets and cause congestion. So it's not good. These are criminal organisations largely, but
yeah, but also a lot of the point of gangs is whanau and community, and that's what coming together, absolutely. And I think given that this man died in custody, this could have gone a lot differently.
That's
and
true.
I feel like the police did a reasonably good job
for
what they had to do. But, you know, and it's I struggle to have views on gangs too because it's so far out of the realm of my experience, and it seems that the way to change things has got to be from within. So things like the Waikato mongrel mob that's really, you know, trying to make a difference from within themselves, like I have no solutions for them and I shouldn't. So I think it needs to be people within them trying to, you know, get
rid
of
the scourge. We are allowed to put some expectations around them and say, actually, look, you can be about whanau and you can try and reform yourselves. But when you are the largest criminal, organised crime organisations in New Zealand, you actually have to
be
policed.
Around P. You know, that's the thing. And that's what the Waikato people are trying to get rid of, the scourge of P.
Yeah.
How sympathetic are you to people, seeing as you've been jabbed, Penny?
Not yet. Tomorrow.
Oh, sorry.
Tomorrow.
I misheard.
I love ya. Sorry.
No, carry on. That was a good
tomorrow,
high note.
Tomorrow, you're only a jab away.
See, impresario.
How sympathetic are you to people, evidently a large number of people with needle phobia, as they prepare to get their jabs? The LA Times recommends, for example, listening to your favourite playlist or bringing a friend to support you. Or do you say toughen up, Tim?
Look, yeah, toughen up. But no, whatever it takes to get you through, just get vaccinated. Yep. Don't care how, don't care why. Hold someone's hand if you want to, just get it.
Yeah, I'm going by myself. I'm epileptic and asthmatic, so I get blood tests a lot and thrombocytopenic. I've got lots going on. So I'm used to needles very fine.
They don't bother you at all?
Not at all. Husband gets a bit lightheaded when he has to have a blood test and stuff.
And are you glad we're getting the vaccine we're getting?
Yes, I am, because I do have low platelets already. So the AstraZeneca blood clots are low platelets and blood clots, which is unusual. Okay. Apparently, thrombocytopenic.
So the Pfizer one's better for
Pfizer. Yeah. So I am happy about that. Obviously, we could have had AstraZeneca for older people, but I'm happy. With
Hopefully,
what
I still think I would like to think that we could get AstraZeneca approved soon. MedSafe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim Watkin, Penny Ashton, thank you both for your company.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
On the weekend panel.